Sega Nerds. They're not fanboys, but they're nerds. You should listen to their words. Just download it and it's yours. Here's the Sega Nerds.
Hello and welcome to the Nerdcast. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me today I have both associate editors, Graham and Nathan. Nathan has is back with us this week because we weren't able to find another Asian willing to do the show, so we had to give the rehire him again, and now he's back with us. So how's it going, fellas?
Pretty good.
All right, first off, fellas, I want to know how your week's been going. Graham, tell us what you've been up to.
Well, one interesting thing I did, I decided to phone up Zoe Mo's, the makers of Crush.
Oh, is that
and see
right?
If I could try and get in there, get an interview, get and see their place. And I phoned them up, and I didn't get past the receptionist, really. She gave me the cold shoulder. She's very offish with me. She's like,
right?
yeah, we'll just give you a call back, you know, that sort of thing. And I couldn't be bothered to try again, but... Yeah.
Well, did you try to sweet talk her, or like try to talk dirty to her then?
I did try. I think maybe that's what put
maybe
her off
didn't
a bit,
do it good enough. Obviously you did.
Yeah.
You're not suave enough.
No, I'll get one of you guys
to next
thing. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Good idea. That was one sort of big thing I tried to do during the week. Just
well, at least you've actually been working towards something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I like to put in the effort now and then.
Yeah. That's good.
And one other thing I did, which has got nothing to do with the site or gaming or anything like that, it's I watched Firefly, the you know, the TV show for Serenity, the movie.
Yeah, that's a good
I've
TV
never
show.
Seen the TV show. I've heard great things about it, but the movie, I love it.
I'm just going to say this now. This is the best sci-fi TV show I've ever seen in my entire life. I just think it's amazing.
Seriously.
I love
Too bad it got canceled.
Absolutely. I know. I just
so you're saying it's better than Weird Science?
Weird Science.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
What makes a show good then? Tell me.
I think the main thing that I think makes shows so good is the setting, the overall setting. If you don't know about it, have you seen the movie Serenity?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know the general gist of it is it's sort of like being in the Wild West, but it's actually in space. That's the sort of general setting of the whole show and stuff. Mm-hmm. And well, in the TV show, it's more evident about that, and every single character in the show is brilliant. I think they've all got their own little background stories and stuff, and the way they work together is so well, and the scripting is just so good, and just in general, I think it's such a great idea for a sci-fi show, and I'm so angry that they cancelled it.
Do you guys remember those toys called Brave Star? When we were kids,
yes.
You wasn't there a really TV? Remember those?
I don't remember that.
There wasn't there a TV show of it?
Yeah,
well.
it was a cartoon.
Yeah,
Brave Star.
Yeah,
and it was kind of like
didn't
that.
They have
it was in the future, and
yeah,
it was
yes.
Setting.
And he had that little chipmunk like deputy. Or
yeah,
something.
And they mined like these like little like very like brightly glowing orange like minerals, and it was like the currency. It was such a good show, and the action figures were really tall. They're like really big too. Yeah, I loved them.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had an action figure, but
we had
the
entire
show,
set, me and my brother. It was great.
Oh.
Brave Star. That shit's
those
awesome.
Days.
Okay. Yeah, so Firefly. So you suggested we watch
yeah,
it?
Yeah, best sci-fi show ever.
Best
you
sci-fi. Wow. Okay, that's pretty lofty then.
It.
Okay. Nathan, what have you been up to?
I have been up to school. I'm taking a summer class here at UT so I can graduate next spring and... It's taking up a lot of my time. It's a pretty intensive reporting class.
You do realize, like, the sooner you graduate, the sooner you actually have to, like, work and stuff, right?
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
not fun at all. Trust me, I've been doing it for a long time.
I don't know.
Not
I
fun.
Get out of school, I guess.
Why? That's, like, the most fun years of your life.
I've had enough.
You're going to miss him.
Yeah,
you're gonna
I
miss
will,
him.
But whatever.
And then the entire rest of your life, you're going to be like, man, I wish I was back in college.
Sure, I guess. But
or I wish I would have boned Sally, is what you're going to be saying the rest of your life.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what I do now.
Well, thanks, I guess. Who's Sally?
I have no idea.
What is going on?
It's actually the name I gave my new recliner.
So you want to have sex with your chair?
I'm not saying that. I'm just, I love her.
You're fucked up, man.
Anyway, okay, so obviously, Nathan, you haven't done anything. I don't think you've ever done anything very interesting in your entire life. So
hey, screw you, buddy.
Okay, so yesterday, I wanted to put on a movie for me and my kids. So me and my daughters were sitting around watching TV, and I decided to put in King Kong. So we started watching it. And
which, you know, King Kong? The new one or the old
new one? Yeah, the Peter Jackson King Kong with Jack Black.
God, I hate that movie so much.
Anyway, so we get halfway through the movie, and they get on the island. And, you know, the natives who dress in all the black paint and everything, and they look really scary. Anyway, my daughters are watching that, and my daughters like get really scared at that point because, you know, the natives are a little scary to them. So we keep watching the movie, and about, you know, a little maybe 2/3 throughout the movie, our power goes out in the entire neighborhood, so we have no power. All the lights are off, and we want to end up going somewhere just because there's no AC or anything like that, so after a while it's going to start getting hot. So I go and start taking a shower real quick, and I tell my daughters to go get changed in their room, which is, you know, by the way, it's dark because there's no lights in the house. So I send them in there, and then I start getting ready to head to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden, you know, the door busts in, and my oldest daughter is really scared, and she runs up to me. And she said, "Dad, I'm scared of the black people." And without thinking, I say, "Don't worry, Caitlin. There's no such thing as black people." So you know, I immediately after saying that, I realized how ridiculous it was. But it just when in that whole situation right there, it just sounded extremely funny. So yeah, that was that yesterday, and then also. I told you guys earlier that I went and watched Evan Almighty last night, and by the way, it's one of the worst movies I've seen all year. Don't go watch it. It's just so terrible. There's so many plot holes in it. There's no reason for a lot of the things that happen within the movie. And if you do, by any chance, you know, make the mistake and watch this movie, you'll see why there's so many plot holes in it, and you'll hate yourself more watching this movie. But anyway, on the way to the movie theater, we stop at this this pizza place that I've been wanting to stop at for a long time. It's called Boston Pizza Company. So we go in, and I thought it was just like this one little place, but it's in this big strip mall. So we walk in into the main entrance, and you know, it surprised me because when we walked in, there was a huge bowling alley. Like, we walked right into a bowling alley, even though right above the door said Boston Pizza Company. So we walk in, big bowling alley to our left, and so, you know, we decide, okay, let's just keep walking and see if we can find this place. So we keep walking, and then over to our right opens up a huge arcade room. I mean, it's just gigantic. And so naturally, you know, being the gamer I am, I want to, you know, just check it out and see what they got. And as I'm walking along and looking at the games, it's just a freaking collection of huge old Sega arcades. I mean, these games are like, you know, just looking back on it, it was like Virtua Fighter 2. They had Aliens 3. They actually had Outrunners. It wasn't even the first Outrun game. It was called Outrunners. What else do they have? They had the original Virtua Cop arcade game, and they just had so many more old Sega arcade games. So sometime this week, I'm going to have to go back and take a camera and just take a bunch of pictures of it. And just because I don't know if there's any other arcade in the entire world that has this many just random old Sega games. So I'm going to have to check it out.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like a... If you're into arcade games, it's like a heaven for you, especially since they're like a quarter a piece still. That was pretty cool.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad? Or?
It's definitely good because that's really cheap. I hate paying $1 for an arcade game.
Yeah. 25. Yeah. Arcade games haven't cost a quarter in like years, 10 years or something.
I know. So, yeah. Okay. So that's basically been what's been going on. Next up, though, let's talk about what we've been playing this week. Graham, I know you usually are playing at least 10 or 15 games a week, so let's try to keep it down to a minimum. Tell us what you've been playing this week, though.
Okay, I've still been playing Touch Darts, which I spoke about last week, and I'm still enjoying it, so it shows that even though the game looks terrible, it's brilliant. I've actually been taking it to work and stuff and been playing
That's
it at work.
Like, I really want to try this game now.
Yeah, I'm just shocked at how much fun it is.
I still don't understand how... Like I said... I mean, because if you look, darts is a game that's usually a mini-game within, like, a full game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's usually... I don't know if it's ever been... If the game of darts has ever had a game based around
I'm sure it has.
Well, it definitely hasn't had too many of them. I can say that. And definitely not many mainstream games have been based around it. So, what is so different about this game, just real quick, that
we sort of spoke about this last week, and I think listening back last week's Nerdcast, I didn't actually bring a very good point across, but what I was trying to say last week was the fact that most darts games originally, you'd have like the dart and stuff, you wouldn't have complete control over, like you'd have a bar going up the side or something going up and down, you sort of got to stop the bar at a certain height and then get a different power over setting and stuff. With this, you've actually got complete control over where the dart goes. So, with the motion you make with a touch screen, acts just like you're throwing a dart. So, if you do it lightly, you can get it into where you can aim for any part of the board with great ease, and you've got complete control over it. That's what makes the game so much fun over like other little other darts games, which you don't have any control over the player, the dart at all. Like in Shenmue, you don't control his hand properly. His hand just wavers around. You've got to try and select a good point to throw. So this game, you've got complete control over what you're doing, which is why it actually makes such a good
game.
That's
cool.
How well do you think this game's going to sell?
Not very well at all.
Why
I don't
do you
think.
Say that?
Unfortunately, because like you guys are probably thinking it's a darts game. Well, I don't really want to pay money to play a darts game because it doesn't look that good. I mean, like you say, there's many mini games that have like darts games in them, and just looking at it, you just think this doesn't look that good. But when you're playing it, though, oh my god, it's just really addictive.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just think from the look of it, a lot of people aren't going to really be into it.
Well, that's a shame because if it is a good game, like you say,
it is.
It definitely deserves.
Yeah,
to
it's.
Play it.
I'd say even if you don't like darts, just you got to try it out, just because it is a lot of fun. Especially, I took it into work and was playing multiplayer with like some people there, and I was like playing with like a 50-year-old woman. She was loving it. She was really good at it as well. It's quite shocking.
Really
she was like beating me most of the. No.
Wait. Yeah. Also, this game comes with something a little extra though, too, right?
Oh yes. Well, not. It doesn't exactly come with something extra. It's only if you can get it. When I got it, I got it with a free stylus, which is in the shape of a dart.
Really?
So like, it's like when you're playing the game with your stylus, you actually like you've got a little dart in it. It's not that amazing. It's just a nice little gimmick
you
can have with the game. No, it doesn't go in your DS.
Is it
got a little.
Is it longer than the regular DS?
It's got a string
attached. Or is it any more useful?
No, it's wider. It's slightly wider than the normal DS dice, which is why you can't fit it in, and it's also got the big ass like flight bit at the end of it. But it's got a little bit of cord attached to it, so you can actually hook it into your DS anyway.
Oh, is that right?
So you have a little bit dangling off, so you can actually sort of keep it attached to your DS.
Oh,
if
that's
you
cool. All right, so
it's just a nice little gimmicky thing that Sega's got there.
Yeah. So what else have you been playing?
I've been going back and playing. One sort of newish game I've been playing is the Overlord demo on Xbox Live.
Very good game.
Yeah, I'm loving that game.
I was kind of done with it after that because I knew what it was about. But.
No, I've played it. I've played it through like three or four times.
Right?
I'm really enjoying it. It's one of those games. Even though I know what I'm doing and I've done it before, I can still get enjoyment out of doing it.
It
again.
Comes out like within the next 2 or 3 weeks. I think it's like June 29th or something like that.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm gonna have to pick it up.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking it up. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, and it's basically like a mixture of Pikmin and Lord of the Rings or Fable. What would you say?
I'd say three different games: Pikmin, Fable, and a game on the PC called Sacrifice.
Never heard of it.
Which no one really knows about. This game is closer to Sacrifice than any of the other two games. In Sacrifice, you were like you're basically like a mini demigod kind of person, and you you controlled lots of little underlings, and you just went out and like killed lots of people and stuff.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And it was a really good game. It got like no advertising or anything like that, so like no one knows about it. I got it free with a graphics card. I was playing it, going, "This is a brilliant game," and yeah, lots of magazines rated it highly, but it just didn't sell that well, I don't think.
That's too bad.
So, yeah. I should move on now. I've also been playing... I've been playing Red Steel on my Wii. I've been going back... I'm still playing that game.
Man,
I'm still loving it. That is... I'm being serious. That is the best... Well, possibly the best first-person shooter I've played this generation.
Dude, it's a terrible... it's not okay. It's a very average first-person shooter.
I just love it. The gunfights in this game are better than any other first person.
You're not even a PC gamer, are you?
Well, I play PC games.
What's your favorite shooter then? Yeah.
Well, on the PC. That'd probably be Half-Life 2, I guess.
You just threw that out there randomly. You've never played Half-Life 2.
I've got Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2 wasn't even released in the UK.
Whatever.
Don't lie to me.
Wasn't you.
I'm kidding. I have no idea.
Jesus Christ! No, Half-Life 2 is a brilliant game, and in many ways it's better than like Red Steel and stuff.
Of course, it's better than Red Steel.
But the thing I like about Red Steel, the gunfights in the Red Steel are actually a lot of fun, and like you got all these explosions going off, and like you're there's one level in a factory. And you're like in this little underground bit, and like if you're shooting around too much, like mishitting people, things are like blowing up and like shooting holes in pillars and stuff, and the pillars are breaking up in front of you, and it's really good.
Yeah,
you don't really get that in many
Red Steel's games. A decent game. It's a very average game, but the Wii controllers make it better than it gives you more fun than you would had it been on like the PS3 or Xbox 360.
Yes,
so
I'd agree.
It relies
with that,
on a gimmick.
The fact that it's
exactly well, it relies on the Wii's interface more than anything. The interface on the Nintendo Wii makes it a better game. It really does.
Yeah. And that's what it's intended to do. That's what the whole thing about the Wii controller is meant to make the games more fun to play. So
true.
It's doing its job. I don't see why people can rip it.
Because, I mean, I think it's because when you look at the game itself, it's a very, very average first-person shooter.
The thing I think is bad about Red Steel is it's very inconsistent. There are areas in the game where I look at it and I think this looks really good. It's got some really nice sort of, well, for the Wii, it's got some pretty good visual effects. And in other areas, it's got very bland looking corridors and stuff like. So it's a bit inconsistent with what it is. If they tried to keep it more consistent, it'd be a lot better.
I remember because those were I think the Red Steel screens were the very first that were released for the Nintendo Wii, and looking back at it, I mean, they looked amazing. When they were first released, I was actually very impressed with what I saw. But playing the game, you're right. There were some levels that looked very well, or just looked very good graphically, and then a few others that just didn't look very very good and didn't actually look very next gen at all. So,
yeah, how far did you get in the game?
Jeez, I honestly don't remember. It has been so long ago since I played it.
Did you get to a bit with the
still at the part where you remember when you have to like meet and do all the quests for like the four different like gang members or whatever.
So that's probably just over halfway.
Yeah, I was right around that
I
area. I was doing those missions.
Okay, there's a bit after that which you know the dojo that you go into. That dojo later on gets attacked and stuff, and the whole dojo is like on fire, and the flame. You're not going to play it. I mean, you're not going to play it again. Jesus Christ. You've had it for like months.
No, I don't even have it anymore.
Okay, yeah, well... Oh, there you go. See? Yeah, but the flame effects, the fire effects in the game are actually really good. And just in that bit, you actually feel like you're in a burning building. And that's really good.
Wow.
Because the whole building's like on fire, right, pretty much. You don't really get that in any of the games either. There's lots of things you don't see going, oh, look at you. Look at you. You don't get that in Half-Life.
Wow.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll tell you a game that I've been playing this week.
God damn it. I haven't finished yet. Whoa.
Graham, all right, keep going. How about you finish up there?
Okay, another game I've been playing on the Wii is Rayman Raving Rabbids.
I've been playing that this week also.
That game is so damn good.
Yeah, no, I got it from Gamefly this week.
Okay, I'll let you talk about that then. And the other game... And the other game I've been playing is Oblivion.
I think you've talked in depth about Oblivion, so. Yeah, okay, tell me what you think about Rayman Raving Rabbids.
Raving Rabies.
Yeah.
It's what?
Do you know the one? I can't get past this one mini game. It's the one where you have to.
Is it the one where you throw a cow?
It's the one where you have to shut the outhouse doors. Do you know that's the one I'm talking about? It's ridiculous because it cheats so bad. Because I put my hand out there and I try to shut the door and it will never shut. On the very far right outhouse is the one that always gets me every single time. I can't ever get it. I don't know why.
Oh. No, I found that hard, but it's always one of the middle ones always got
really?
Me.
No, it's the one on the far right I can't ever get.
I personally think that game is a lot of fun.
It is fun.
So I think it's one. I think it's very underrated.
I like dressing Rayman up as an old lady and then playing through the game as the old lady.
Yeah,
because you've got a sick fetish.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I like to dress him up as an old lady while I dress up as an old lady.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I connect with him better.
Yeah, you're disgusting.
I should dress up as an old man.
Oh yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to talk about what I've been playing, Graham. Okay, you're done.
Good. Yeah, you do that.
I got Sonic the Hedgehog on the Xbox 360 in this week.
Oh, good.
And I've been playing it quite a bit today. And I got to say that I'm actually having quite a bit of fun with this game. I went in with low expectations because I've just heard so many bad things about it from so many people. But honestly, it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be, I got to say. I have to, have to say that the loading times, like most people have said, are pretty bad. You know, it actually loads for about anywhere from 5 to 10 seconds just for an FMV sequence, which is kind of embarrassing.
An FMV
sequence? Seriously,
Jesus.
you will be playing. Okay, it'll load to open up a level, and you'll run maybe about 10 feet and meet up with someone. And that will, start up an FMV sequence, and then it will load again for the FMV. And then after the FMV is done, it's going to load again to load back into the level that you're in. So anywhere from, 5 seconds of gameplay, you'll get 3 loading screens before you can get back into the game.
Yeah, and, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
really
it gets a little
bad design.
Yeah, definitely. I think Sonic Team really dropped the ball with just the loading times in the game. I think they needed to probably just had a little bit more time with it and just tighten it up just a little bit. Graphics wise, the game's amazing. I think graphics are very, very great in the game. It's a little creepy to see real people or realistic people, I should say, in the Sonic universe, something I've never really seen before. And it's just kind of strange to see Sonic interacting with people because it's just something I've never really noticed before. Gameplay-wise, though, when the game is actually, going all out and you get to, just blast through the levels as Sonic, it's a ton of fun. I have a lot of fun doing it, and it has a great sense of speed, and there's just a lot of fun to be had with that. But having said that, when you start playing as like Tails, it really slows down a lot because Tails is very slow. His attack is basically throws rings in this game. It throws he throws fake rings, but when you throw the rings, it makes the sound of when you get hit. So when you're throwing rings and you're nearby opponents, you really can't tell if you're getting hit or if you're just throwing rings because there's rings flying all around you. And it's making the sound effect of you getting hit and you're dropping rings. So you really can't tell what the hell's going on at all. And it's just basically just very confusing. At this point, I'm on the level where I'm having to beat Silver. And he's giving me a lot of problems. And it's really tough. But I got to say, I'm having a lot more fun with it than I thought I was. So that's how it's going. Yeah. So
that's good.
There we go. I think, I don't really know what the average review scores were for it. I know it was probably the 5 or 6 range. So I'm having more fun with it than the reviews that I read said I would. That's what I'll say. Yeah.
That's good then.
Nathan, what have you been playing?
I haven't really been playing anything because school's been keeping me so busy, but I've got some games lined up that I want to play.
What's that?
I bought The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Well, for the GameCube recently, I was going to try and start that up when I had time. I don't have a Wii, so...
I would rather play it on the GameCube than the Wii.
Yeah, because I don't want to use the dumb...
Oh, whatever.
Why would I want to wag the thing to swing the sword? It's stupid as hell.
I think the Wii's controller, or the interface on Zelda just seems so tacked on. It just didn't seem to flow very well at all.
It's a very obvious.
Using the bow and arrow with the Wii controller is 10 times better than using a bloody controller.
With that.
I
just think that I mean, it was developed for the GameCube in mind, and then they ported it to the Wii.
Yep.
And I just think that it would probably have been better played on the GameCube. I haven't played on the GameCube, but having played quite a bit on, I owned it for a while, and I played a lot of it, and I just have to say that I think that I thought that it would have been better played on a traditional joystick.
Well, when I was playing on the with my Wii version, I found the controls completely natural. So
that's because you're English.
I can imagine playing with a controller.
Yep.
You like bad movies, Graham.
That's right. I like good movies, bitch.
Testy. Okay. I hope you have you bought the game yet though?
I already have it. I was going to play it today, except then we spent like 5 hours talking before actually recording, and now I don't have any time to play tonight.
Okay, now we're done with what we've been playing. We have a new feature that Nathan's going to talk a little bit about.
Okay, the new feature is the good, the bad, and the other thing. Basically, I almost said ugly. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Okay, well, basically what this is we're going to take three interesting news topics from the week in the world of video games, not necessarily Sega, but video games in general. One good news item, one bad news item, and then one other news item, which could be something random or bizarre or stupid. I don't know. Whatever's up this week. Three interesting news stories. Oh, my throat's going out. I hate you guys.
Drink some water.
I don't have any. Anyways.
Drink some beer.
Okay, so for this week, we've got the good. And the good is that the ESRB rated Shining Force for the Nintendo Wii, and the rating went up on the website, and that's how people found
Woo-hoo!
Out.
Woohoo! I'm so happy for this. This is something I've been asking for so long. Thank you, Sega. Finally, something worth buying on the Virtual Console that's put out by Sega. Finally.
Well, not to get our listeners' hopes up, but this doesn't mean it's coming anytime soon or that it has a date. It just means that it's been rated, so... Who knows when we'll actually see it, but hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, hopefully like next week.
Yeah, right. Okay, and...
No, I'm so excited. Okay, I'll talk just a little bit about this. All right, go ahead. You know I'm very passionate about Sega and the Virtual Console, but I will say that I'm just so happy that Sega is finally putting out a little bit more games that aren't available on other compilations that we can get, because... I think the Virtual Console is just a very unique opportunity for these developers to put out classic games that are so beloved, from way back when, and it allows younger gamers to experience these games that they probably would never have the chance to do that. If having to go back to these old consoles, because I'll tell you, I seriously doubt the young gamers coming up today are going to go back and play Sega Genesis titles.
Well, that's a good point of debate. Do you think any of these younger gamers are actually buying Virtual Console games, or do you think it's just us old farts buying them because we remembered how awesome they were?
Well, that's a good question. I hope that these young gamers are, because... these games are basically where genres were created, if they didn't go back and, I mean, these are the classic games. I mean, if you go back, I mean, in any kind of art form, there's genre, creating, series that were created in every art form, and within the video game, art form, these are the games that were, that spawned a lot of the games that we're experiencing today. So if you go back and play these games, these are the games that started it all. Shining Force was one of the original console, you know, tactical RPG games, turn-based, and that's where I started playing these games. That was on the Sega Genesis, and that's where, you know, I kind of got my, you know, wet my ears on these games. So this is something that I've just been waiting for a long time. Shining Force is one of my all-time favorite RPGs, and I definitely will be laying down $6 or $8 for this game when it comes out.
Hooray.
Yes, I'm happy. I'm a happy Sega nerd today.
Okay, good. Well, yep. The bad news that we have this week is the whole Manhunt 2 fiasco, where
yeah.
It got banned in the UK, and then the ESRB rated it adults only in the US, effectively banning it in the US on
yep.
all platforms.
It sucks.
Yeah, because Sony and Nintendo, their policy is that they will not allow adult-only games on their systems.
Yeah.
So. And wait a second. That's the thing. What really? Was that? What was it? BMX XXX? Wasn't that an adult-only game?
No. That got a mature. No.
That
it
got
not.
A mature?
No?
Yeah. Are you serious?
That had
yeah,
video.
It had videos of, like, you know, strip clubs in it.
No. I think, think technically the only game that was ever on sale in the U.S. that was rated adults only was Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which was rated that retroactively after it had already gone on sale.
Wow. Even the guy game, was that only mature?
Yeah, that was only mature.
What about Leisure Suit Larry?
There was an uncut version of it, I think, released for PCs, but that
was
also...
Well, also, Leisure Suit Larry games were mostly put on the PC, which aren't...
It's an open platform, so it doesn't matter what it's
exactly.
Rated.
Yeah. So...
Right, okay. I was speaking about
right.
the...
Yeah,
those are rated
was,
mature.
Was
those
were
censored.
2 versions.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They weren't in England.
Nothing is in England, though.
I've got the game. It's completely uncensored. It's quite shocking, actually.
I don't play crap games.
Yeah.
Oh...
There's nothing wrong with
it. So, okay,
a game.
So wait, what do you guys think about this, though? Okay, basically, the UK has banned it. The ESRB has basically came down and banned it for sale in the US because, as an adult only game, it's not going to be put on the on the Sony or the Nintendo consoles. Is this kind of a block? Is this blocking freedom of expression or, you know, freedom of speech, so to say? By doing this, I mean, if you look at movies, there's by far, I mean, there's so many movies out there that are way more violent than what you're going to be seeing in Manhunt 2, and these movies are rated R basically for 17 years and up, but adult only is 18 and up, and it's not going to be able to be sold in the UK or in America. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about this?
I don't think it's as big a deal as, I mean, it's. It's a point of controversy, but I mean, the whole thing on the internet, I think it's getting a little out of proportion. But the point that I don't agree with is that the ESRB is a content rating organization only. They shouldn't have the power to basically effectively kill a game from ever hitting shelves, which is what the adults only rating is doing. Like,
yeah.
You know, the MPAA, they rate movies. They do pretty much the same thing with the NC-17 rating, which
right.
is basically box office death for any movie that gets that. Same thing
yeah.
with adults only. It can't even go on sale. So I think it's the ESRB overstepping their authority and their power. I don't agree with that, and they should be doing nothing but rating content, not effectively disallowing a game from ever going on sale.
I think I know part of the reason why it might be banned in the UK. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but back when the original Manhunt was released in the UK, this kid at school killed another kid, and the press it leaked out in the press that the kid had been playing Manhunt and stuff, and they started blaming Manhunt for
is that true?
Turning this kid
I
into a
it
psycho.
Out that the victim
and yeah, well. Yeah, wait. I was going to reveal that, but basically, all these stores and all these big major retail stores basically banned Manhunt. Most of them did. A few that didn't, but basically, Manhunt was banned throughout like the United Kingdom, And that, but it's actually turned out that is the victim that had been playing Manhunt, and his mum had found that he'd been playing Manhunt, and she, for some reason, she assumed the killer had been playing Manhunt. But this other killer didn't even own a console or anything.
He was he was never going to church.
The game, so, but basically the press got it all out of proportion and stuff. They got everything wrong, and they just made out that the killer had been playing Manhunt just because the mum thought that her son who died.
I remember reading about that. That pissed me off.
I just think the entire the whole press stereotype that video games are causing people just to go crazy and start killing people in mass is just so silly. We've had violent entertainment in our society for so long. I don't think that just because a new medium comes along that that does the same thing as movies has for years is going to make people go off and start killing people more. If you look at the PBC Productions, documentary they put out just recently, which is actually very cool, but one of the things they talked about in that is that violence among teens and young people in America has been dropping like each year for a while. And you know, at the same time, video game playing, you know, by those same people has been rising just as much. So there's no, you know, it shows, I think right there, it shows that there's no correlation between playing violent video games and violent acts between teens right there. I don't see what the big deal is. I think people are just so quick to blame video games because they have violent acts within them that that they think that, you know, just by playing them that they're going to make you crazy, which is just so ridiculous.
I also think it's the point that it's because video games are the new media on the block. Like, historically, if you look at it, it's always the way it happened. The older, more conservative generation tries to blame all of society's ills and the youth's problems on whatever is around and new. Like, way back when, they tried to blame it on Elvis Presley and rock and roll. Oh my goodness, he's corrupting our youth. And then, later, it was
Black people in the 70s.
Yeah, black people. And then in the 90s, black people and rap music. Oh my god, rap music is gonna destroy our children. Right. You know, it's just every time something new comes around, it's like, and then finally it gets accepted into the society, and then people realize that they were being a bunch of dumbasses.
Okay, having said that, when do you think violent video games is going to be an acceptable form of entertainment within our society?
I don't think it's so much as violent video games being singled out here as it is video games in general. So.
Okay.
I think video games will become more accepted as a viable form of entertainment, I guess, once this entire generation of stuffy politicians and stuff dies out.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, it's basically a whole bunch of Democrats that like to fight against video games. Like Leland Yee, some senator from California. And
I think the Republicans,
Hillary
too,
Clinton,
though, isn't
Joe Lieberman. They're mostly all Democrats. In fact, pretty much every single anti-video game legislation you see is being backed by a Democrat. Which
that's
is
why
strange.
I'm voting Taliban in 08.
Okay, well, you do that, terrorist. Okay, good, the bad, and the other thing. The other thing for this week is Microsoft paid $50 million to Take-Two for Grand Theft Auto 4 downloadable content on the Xbox 360. So
that's a lot of money.
All the downloadable content, the extra scenarios and stuff on GTA 4 is going to be exclusive to the Xbox 360, and it only costs $50 million.
That's insane. Do you think they're ever going to... $50 million, that's a lot of money. Do you think Microsoft is ever going to see this money again?
Probably not.
I mean, even making $50 million, that's... I mean, I think that would be good just on a console release, period.
Yeah.
Just on a video game release. You make $50 million, that's a lot of money.
Really? I don't know about that. I think video game revenue is quite a bit higher than that.
No,
but...
I think even breaking, I mean, even any kind of profit, you're doing okay, because there's quite a bit of games that lose money.
No, because I saw, like, I saw something where a game, I think, sold around 500,000 or maybe less copies, and they said that was equivalent to about $8 million.
I think even 500,000 is pretty decent. There's so many video games releasing. Yeah. I mean,
GTA,
think about
San Andreas sold how many copies? Like, close to 15 million at last, something like that?
Okay,
maybe
I'm
more?
Just saying, with the amount of video games being released, I think 500,000 is a pretty good mark. I think
not for GTA. GTA is going to break 1 million easily. It's going to break 5 million easily. The point is, Microsoft spent $50 million to get just exclusive downloadable content for GTA 4, which means that that version of GTA 4 is going to be much more appealing to a great number of people over the PlayStation 3 version, right? Because there's not going to be any downloadable content on that. And that is why Microsoft is spending so much money. So they have the better, more complete, more attractive, more comprehensive version of GTA 4. And that should probably equate to probably a larger portion of sales. But even if it does not pay off $50 million back to Microsoft, it doesn't matter because they've already won image-wise.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think Microsoft is willing to take a small hit or even a moderately sized hit on this just because in the grand scheme of things, they're going to say that they had the better GTA game?
Yeah, it's all about image here. It's Microsoft. They've got more money than God.
Yeah. Because if you look, when this generation's over and done with, I think we're going to look back and the exclusivity is what's going to make these systems as far as when you look when you compare the Xbox 360 and PS3, they're so similar into the amount of features they give you and the games and the graphics. They're all very similar, so the exclusive games that you get on these systems is what's going to drive gamers to buy one or the other. And if Microsoft can get the better game, like you said, the better Grand Theft Auto game, it's going to appeal to a wider audience, and it's going to make gamers and the average gamer want to buy that game if they can get a more complete Grand Theft Auto on the Xbox 360 as opposed to the PS3.
Yeah, considering how high-profile GTA 4 is. I mean, it's like one of the best-selling game series out there now, and pretty much any GTA game that goes on sale goes on to become the best-selling game of that year.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. I definitely agree with you, especially when you're comparing the 360 versus the PlayStation 3. It's definitely going to be the exclusive features and the exclusive games that are going to make or break each of the systems in this upcoming war. So, I mean, they're pretty closely, evenly matched right now as far as graphics and power and all that goes. The gap might widen in the future when developers begin to utilize the PlayStation 3's multi-core processor better, but for now it's all about the exclusives. And if Microsoft can pay $50 million just for that, then I mean that's what they're going to do.
And another thing that I think we're forgetting to mention, though, is this helps Take-Two immensely in their ongoing financial problems. This is $50 million real money that they can put towards all their deficits that they're facing right now. So
free revenue.
Exactly. This is immediate revenue for them. It's going to be able to help them out quite a bit in getting the credit hounds off their back, so to speak. So honestly, I mean, this just seems like a win-win situation for Microsoft and Take-Two, and it seems like Sony is kind of left out in the cold, in the rain, just crying by themselves. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because, I think, like we said, even if Microsoft doesn't make all this money back, in the end, they still might be the ones smiling and laughing about it because they'll be the ones to say that they got the better version of GTA.
I just hope the downloadable content's worth it.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is that while Microsoft and Take-Two might be the winners, it could be very easily that we, the consumers, could be the losers in this because if we don't get, if these expansions or downloadable content is $15 to $30 a piece, and it doesn't add that much into it. Is it really even worth it to begin with? Unless it's some real meaty expansions, I mean, is it something that gamers are really going to want? I mean, well, unless it just...
I think so far Microsoft have been very good with their pricing on the Xbox Live the Xbox Live downloads so far. I mean, like with Oblivion stuff, they've had like a couple of small crappy ones. Which,
horse armor.
Yeah, the horse armor was a big incident. I think they actually learned their lesson from that and stuff. But most of the big downloads, like the Shivering Isle downloads, they're the only ones that actually cost a lot of money. Like it cost like $20 or $30 or whatever.
I agree. Microsoft has been pretty smart about it. After that horse armor thing.
Yeah.
The one thing that I hope we stop seeing is video like tips that are downloadable like for, you know, a couple bucks. I think Shadowrun has just did that. Basically what they do is they release available videos that show you how to better play the game, and you can pay like $1.50 to download them.
Oh god, that's dumb.
That's stuff that should be released within the game itself. You know, it's just that's just tutorials right there. So I think that is one example of microtransactions going backwards. And
I don't know, man. If somebody's dumb enough to pay money for that, then they don't deserve to keep their money.
True. But, I mean, I just think that as a consumer, even having that on there is something that's...
People pay money for, like, picture packs or whatever the hell.
Oh, God.
Right?
That makes me so angry.
Yeah, so if you're an idiot...
I did that for Condemned.
A fool and his money are soon parted.
You can get your pictures off your PC and put them on your Xbox 360. That's what I did. That's how I've got my background on my Xbox 360. You don't need the picture packs.
Yeah, so screw that. They're idiots. Yeah. If they want to spend money on that, then fine. I'm glad they don't get to keep their money.
All right, there was our the good and the bad and the other things. So there we go. All right, next up's the newsstand.
Yeah.
Graham, take it away.
Okay, in case you don't know, yesterday it was Sonic's 16th birthday. So,
say the date. This
okay.
Is yesterday when they're listening to this.
Okay. Yeah. On the 23rd of June, it was Sonic's birthday, and he was born in 1991, which makes him 16. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Our little guy's old enough to drive.
In some places, yeah.
And he's legal in the United States.
Some
for
states.
All the crazy Henta fans out there, they can
Did
go
you
wild
see the
now.
Post?
Sonic's coming out.
Do you see one?
No, goddamn it! Don't
see
say
one
that.
The comments that we had on. On the site about that.
Oh, no.
When I put up a big article, an article about the 16th birthday, and I mentioned about how Sonic and Nintendo, who used to hate each other, are now lovers, basically making Sonic and Mario in the future in the Olympic Games. And someone commented about, "Oh no, you're going to start for like a huge craze of hentai between Sonic and Mario now." And yeah, someone else wrote something else about that, basically. So it's starting to get. It's starting to go on a bit, but
I might actually be kind of interested in
that. Shut up!
I'm all a bit curious.
No, I hate you guys. Look, I'm gonna say this on the record. I hate furries.
You hate what? Oh.
Graham doesn't know what furries
are. No
well, then good.
I'm too innocent
you
for this.
Better stay ignorant.
Okay,
right.
You can Google that later.
Yes,
on.
I will.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Sonic's 16. He was created by if you don't know, he's created by Yuji Naka and also Naoto Oshima. I think I've pronounced that correctly.
He was the character designer.
Yeah.
Yuji Naka was the main programmer.
That's
for
That's right.
Game.
There we go.
You know what? I honestly didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. Lots of people just credited to Yuji Naka.
Yeah, I honestly thought that he was the main guy behind it all. So Oshima is the guy who actually came up with the character design then?
Yeah.
But Yuji Naka made the games, as it were.
Where's this guy now? He's probably like working for some like small like fast food chain, like creating some kind of like rip off of McDonald's characters today.
He
poor guy.
Okay, let's keep going.
I'm sure he's still working for. Yeah, whatever. Actually, I think he worked. No, never mind. I think he's working for Nintendo Games now.
Oh,
no, he's not.
He's worked on Yoshi Island, Yoshi Island DS, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Grandos.
Hell yeah.
So, okay,
anyway,
wait, Graham, so how did Sega celebrate Sonic's
birthday? Sega celebrate? Well, They had a big thing on PSU, Phantasy Star Universe. They had Sonic statues that you could we got for free when you logged on his birthday. And
lucky birthday.
A lot of people went into the lobby and started shouting happy birthday. We've got a video on our site about that now, where some guy just went on and videotaped everyone shouting happy birthdays, all these people just shouting it in PSU, and it's a bit crazy, but yeah, nice. Good stuff.
It still shows that Sonic fans or Sega fans in general are just as crazy as ever.
Well, one of my online friends told me that there was a, I guess, a Tails showed up in the game. Some Sega employee was controlling Tails, and they all followed Tails to pair him, and then Sonic was actually there.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, Sonic made an appearance. And my friend got some screenshots, I think.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
This makes me angry because I tried to log onto Phantasy Star Universe on his birthday and he wouldn't let me get on.
Uh-oh.
There's something wrong with the network.
Maybe there's something wrong with your computer.
Huh. Oh, shut up. This is my Xbox.
Something's wrong with your Xbox.
I don't have the PC, but... Yeah, maybe there is. Well, basically, for some reason, I couldn't log on his birthday, and as far as I'm aware, I'm still paying the online fee, so... Slightly annoyed about
it. Just go cancel that.
I wanted to join in the party. I want to get in there.
I want that Sonic
statue. I wanted to meet Sonic. Yeah, so did I. Come on. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Anything else you want to add about Sonic's birthday?
Nope. Let's go.
Okay, let's carry on.
Let's get to the big news.
Let's get on to real news.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Okay, no one likes to talk about Sonic, but there's a Sonic RPG that's been announced.
Yeah!
Okay, yeah. Sega and Sega announced that they're making a new game with BioWare. BioWare actually developing it. A new Sonic RPG. And if you don't know, BioWare are big RPG guys who made Star Wars and Knights of the Republic and
Jade Empire,
Baldur's Gate.
That's the one. Yep. Yeah, those ones.
They're a big Western RPG developer. They're based in Canada.
Mainly doing stuff on the PC, but also on the Xbox as well. And so there's a bit of a shock announcement with that. They it just came out of the blue the other day.
Yeah, basically out of nowhere.
We don't know anything about the game really.
Yeah, I don't think anyone had any idea this was coming.
Yep.
No. It's just kind of weird, though, too, is why didn't they just wait till E3 to announce this?
Maybe they're going to show some media at E3 and they just wanted to get the hype train rolling.
Possibly. And that's actually kind of, it's been kind of like that. It seems like it's been, a lot of developers have been doing that the last few years, just go ahead and announcing some of the games that are going to be shown at E3 a few weeks ahead of time. So maybe that's just what they're doing here.
But, yeah, what do you guys think? How's this actually going to work as an RPG?
Well, we basically know nothing, absolutely nothing of the game so far, so it's all speculation so far.
What do you think, though?
I don't know what to think.
Do you think it works like a Final Fantasy kind of turn-based RPG, or more of a full real-time action kind of
thing? I would hope more action, because that's closer to what Sonic is, but I really don't know how Sonic would work as an RPG. I'll have to wait to see before I form an opinion.
Yeah, I think just looking at some of the past BioWare RPGs, though, I mean, it seems like they like to do the action RPG kind of thing. With the KOTOR and the Jade Empire, they're both running off the same engine. It's going to be interesting to see if maybe they can do something similar with the Sonic RPG, because I think if you're going to make a Sonic game, you have to integrate what makes Sonic into that RPG. Nintendo and Square were successfully able to do that in the Mario RPG. I think if Sega's going to be successful in this, you're going to have to do the same thing with the Sonic RPG. And I think the only way to really do that is to make it an action RPG to where you can actually move around and make use of Sonic's speed within the game. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm still just very, very skeptical of the whole thing. Even as an action RPG, it'd just be like, what? Your attacks and stuff would still be all stat-based? That'd be stupid.
Well, what I'm imagining right now is something similar to, maybe Oblivion and Morrowind. We've got a big open world, and Sonic can, build up certain stats and stuff, as you say, but all the fighting will be completely real-time, and, if you want to run past an enemy, you can do, or whatever. And, maybe he's got, items you can pick up, like in the Sonic Adventure and Sonic 06 and stuff. He picks up extra special items that make him a bit more powerful. Maybe they're going to have more emphasis on that to make him have new special moves. And
yeah,
stuff.
If they have random battles, that's what I'm imagining. Nail in this game. No, yeah, don't have random battles. I think the RPG genre has moved past random battles.
Tell that to Japan. Ho ho.
Oh god. I just think random battles are such a thing of the past. I mean, I don't know. It's just something that I personally
back in the 32-bit day, random battles were good, but now they're definitely not.
Yeah, I'm just really, really skeptical. I'll wait till I see some, or we learn some actual details about this. But just to remind everybody, BioWare's next game, Mass Effect, is coming out this fall for the Xbox 360.
And it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know too much about it. I'm not that interested in it, but yeah. Ooh. It's supposed to be a pretty big deal.
I'm torn.
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty good, but I don't think it looks amazing. But
just
Sonic RPG is being exclusively made for the Nintendo DS.
Right.
That's pretty much all we know, except for a 2008 release.
So hopefully, it also doesn't rely too much on Nintendo DS gimmicks, because the last thing we need is a Sonic RPG where you have to draw across enemies to damage them.
I would be happy if it kept that to a minimum, even if it was just if they used the bottom screen just for. Even just using or just selecting like weapons and just doing like just different kind of equipment based items.
Don't say
you know what I mean?
You just said weapons. I don't Sonic using weapons.
I'm just thinking more of as like just in the RPG genre. I'm just saying even if it was if it just mainly was in use just for selecting equipment and even in the item menu screen. I would be happy if it didn't even make use of the touchscreen, so much into the gameplay at least. You know,
I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
All right.
One to look out for, definitely.
Hopefully, we'll learn more soon when E3 rolls around.
Yeah. more Sonic news. Sonic Rivals 2 has been announced for the PSP. A bit more of the older Sonic Rivals game, I guess. I've never actually played the original Sonic Rivals, so I know nothing about the game.
I played a little bit of it.
What's it like? From videos and screenshots I've seen, Sonic Rivals looked to me to be a 3D Sonic game on the PSP, but I recently heard there's a 2D.
The graphics were all 3D, but it was, I guess, what people call 2.5D, 2.5D, because it plays on a 2D plane with 3D representation, but there's also some 3D elements sometimes.
Right.
Is it a bit like Bug?
Kind of like
Bug
that, I guess, but I mean, not. Yeah.
Or Pandemonium? Do you ever play that on PlayStation?
Play that.
Yeah, I think that's more in line with what it's like, Graham.
Right. Okay. Yep.
But it kind of played like an old school classic Sonic game, just with the whole rivals element. You're always racing somebody, so that was a little annoying because you couldn't explore the levels or anything, but they say in the sequel there's going to be a free mode where you don't have to do that. You don't have to race people.
I heard the biggest gripe and the biggest downfall in the original Sonic Rivals was basically it was all in memorizing the track because it just moved so fast that once you were able to memorize when there was a jump and when there was this and that, you were able just to breeze through the levels.
I can see that being a complaint. But, a lot of the things that they mentioned in the press release, like, that they were changing for the sequel, like, they all seem to be good improvements. Like, they actually thought through what needs to be fixed. And Sonic Rivals wasn't a bad game. It just wasn't that good. But it definitely was not a bad game.
Yeah.
So, as long as they're improving things in the sequel, I mean, that's something to look forward. It could be a decent Sonic game.
Right.
When you said it was a bad... it would be a complaint that memorizing the level and stuff. Is it a complaint that because you memorize the levels become too easy, or that you have to memorize the levels to actually get past them?
I think it might be more the second, because you're always racing somebody, so you have to know where to go.
But exactly.
Might not be as much of an issue in this.
Most Sonic, pretty much all 2D Sonic games are like that, though. You when you first play the game, you don't really know the levels, and you die a lot more. But once you learn the levels, you can go really fast.
Yeah, the point is that the whole rivals thing, it discouraged exploration. You had to keep moving to beat the other guy, otherwise you lose.
But
they say in this one there's going to be a mode where you don't have to race people, so you could take the time to explore the stages.
Okay.
They also said that there's going to be new multiplayer modes, and you only need one copy of the game to play it on two PSPs.
That's
cool.
That's pretty good. Do they do that with a lot of PSP games or not? They only have one disc.
I'm not sure. I think a lot of PSP multiplayer games actually require two copies, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I know on the DS, they actually have a lot of games on the DS which you only need one cart with. But or you can have one cart, but if you have more than one cart, you open up more options and stuff. But I've never seen that with a PSP before, but I've only just got a PSP recently.
Yeah, I'm
so
not too
sure
either, actually. I don't play too many games on the PSP.
The only game I've ever played multiplayer, like, ad hoc with is Twisted Metal with my brother. Other than that, I've never even been near someone else with a PSP playing at the same time, so I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Okay, should we move on? Yep, okay, next up is not Sonic. It's more Sega Rally info has just been released. Shown, they've got more screens up about for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And there's also talk that there might be a new downloadable demo on both the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 downloadable services. So far, from what we know, it's not been completely confirmed, but it's what Guy Wilday, the boss of Sega Racing Studios, basically said that they're really interested in trying to get it up there. They've just got to work out the best way to do it, and if they can do it, possibly.
Well, that'd be cool.
So hopefully before it comes out, there will be a demo on live for us to download and play.
The big news,
I think it's September.
I'm not sure.
The big
news that I heard this week about this, and I don't think I even talked to you guys really much about it, is that the tracks are supposed to have deformable tracks within the game that actually will alter gameplay. MotorStorm on the PS3 had this, but it didn't actually affect the gameplay at all. Like, the tracks themselves, as you drove through them, they, you know, gradually got worse and worse, but, you know, it didn't really affect the way your car handled on the track. But with Sega Rally, that's not going to be the case. Once once the track has a lot of mud on it, and once it has, like, a lot of potholes or whatever... it's actually going to affect the way your car maneuvers on that track. So I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to just be a big innovation in the car racing genre, in my opinion.
Did you just say that you'd only heard that this week?
So. Yeah, I think I only read about it just recently.
Okay. I read that.
Oh, is that right?
Ago. I just yeah, that was actually revealed a long time ago.
Wasn't it announced recently that there's going to be a PSP version also? Like, I think that was just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, that was also... Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though, to see if that's going to... If the deformable tracks is going to be able to show up in the PSP version.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to...
Because I would imagine that's going to be, like, a big strain just on the processor to be able to keep up with all that stuff. But...
Yeah, I think the PSP version is going to be very stripped down.
Well, the thing is how, Sony opened up, the processor, in the PSP to 330 megahertz. It'll be interesting to see if Sega can take advantage of that.
Oh, man, 100 more megahertz.
God.
Hey, I'm telling you, that's a big deal in those handheld games, man. Especially when, Game Gear was dealing with, 15megahertz or something like that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the
days.
Megahertz
count.
That's when handhelds were really handheld.
Oh, God.
Yep.
It's that much of a difference.
Well, no, I don't think 100 megahertz is enough to push it to have all the deformable tracks and stuff, personally.
That's assuming that it can't even do it on the PSP to begin with.
I'm going
to
tell you, I liken this to when Red Faction had the environments that you're actually able to blow up and alter the environments in the first-person shooter genre. I think this is similar, very similar to that, and it made for some very exciting gameplay, variables in the game. So, because in Red Faction, you could actually get a rocket launcher, blow a hole in the ground, and duck in that, and it would make a huge hole. You can go in that hole and duck in, and it would just kind of you can use it for cover and stuff like that. And that was way back on the PS2, early days of the PS2. So I think this is the similar kind of innovation in the car racing genre. So we'll see how it works. I'm excited for it. And this is, in my opinion, this is, again, just showing Sega being an innovative developer, going off and doing something different that, someone else has not done before. So
I don't think that they're using their a good, I don't know, a well-known series, I guess, that they, yeah, bringing it back. When was the last Sega Rally game?
There's one on PlayStation 2.
2006? Is that what it was called, Sega Rally 2006? Was that any good?
I don't know when it was released.
I was just playing Sega Rally on the N-Gage this weekend.
Ugh. Yeah. N-Gage?
How's that?
Not good. Yeah, I love my N-Gage, though. Don't hate.
You have an N-Gage?
I am one of the biggest N-Gage fans of all time. I happen to be. I love my N-Gage.
Something wrong with you.
Don't hate. Okay, there goes our newsstand. go ahead.
Oh, there's one other thing I just wanted to bring up about that, if that's okay. If Sega do release a downloadable demo, do you think that's going to be good for the game or bad? Because there's been some previous games that have been released on Xbox Live and stuff, and it's actually put more gamers off than it has.
Well, I think as far as demos go, it's always good for the consumer because it gives you a chance to play the game. And to really make a well-informed decision on whether it's a game you want to spend your money on, because in today's video game industry, spending $60 on a game, that's extremely expensive. So that's a big decision, you know, for the average consumer.
You say it gives you a well-informed decision, but because it's a demo, it's going to be very stripped down. Like for example, Saints Row. That was terribly stripped down. The demo was pretty bad.
Well, that's up to the developers then to make an accurate representation of what their game is in the demo. I can't think of any time or any instance where a demo ended up hurting what was a good game.
Well, I think Saints Row it did, and also some people talk about Lost Planet, how sales were lower than expected.
Well, I don't think you can blame that on the demo.
The demos, when they're released, they didn't show really what the game was about.
Yeah, like what Nathan said, that's a fault of the developer not being able to accurately represent the game to the consumer. So if they put out a crappy demo and the game's not, you know, and it's a good game, then that's on the developer. You know, that's on them. They should have spent the extra time to ensure that their demo was a good demo.
Well, for Saints Row is another example. If you try to release it as a demo, it's pretty hard simply because it's a big open world game. You can't really have a demo which is like the whole world because the world is completely open. So they had to cut it back down, and that's the only way they could really do the demo. So sometimes it's not always the developer's fault exactly.
I don't know. I don't think there's really a cap on what a developer can put into a demo, because I've seen some Xbox 360 demos near like 300 megabytes and even some over 1 gigabyte. So I don't think there's any space restrictions on that Microsoft imposes. So it's just interesting. I don't know what, you know, I really don't know what to say, because I don't think there's really any restriction that Microsoft imposes on the developers to put, when they're putting out a demo.
Yeah, I honestly don't think that a demo can ever be a bad thing, unless your game sucks to begin with. Well, then, in that case, fuck you.
<That's> right. All right.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. All right, Nathan.
Okay, oh yeah, I'm up. All right. We're going to go to the quiz now, where I finally get my turn to ask Chris and Graham 5 questions.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
And
it's my turn.
And Graham, you're finally able to answer some questions now. It's my turn. I haven't answered any questions yet. I'm the one.
What are you talking about? You answered my questions.
We've both answered questions. That's what's
there. We go.
Okay, dumbasses. Yeah, that's right. You've been drinking too much. Anyways, I just want to point this out before I start that this is going to be the last time we're going to do the quiz.
Oh,
it's our last
quiz segment.
No,
I think
this is
it
true.
Can be that by popular demand. People love this kind of stuff.
Well, okay. Well, if we get a huge... I'll say this. If we get a huge backlash and we get a ton of comments saying that they want the quiz back, then we'll keep it. But if not, then we won't, because I don't like thinking up questions. You got that? Hear that, listeners? If you want the quiz to stay, leave comments.
There you go. Fair enough.
All right. That's fair. Okay. And we'll explain what we're going to replace it with after I ask my questions. So here we go. All right. My first question for you two is, Dr. Robotnik was designed after U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt. True or false?
I'm going to go for false.
I'll say false also.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm going to write down your answer.
Do that, yeah, because last time we screwed up.
Unlike the other time.
Chris, false. Graham, false. Okay, next question. This is also a Sonic-related question. Actually, 4 out of 5 are Sonic-related. Alright, okay, we'll do all the Sonic questions first. So, there are 3 main people credited, or most often credited, with the creation of the Sonic the Hedgehog game, the original game, like we were discussing earlier. Yuji Naka was the programmer, Naoto Oshima was the character designer, and Hirokazu Yasuhara was the game planner and level designer.
Oh my gosh.
So these are the 3 main people.
Did you work with Graham to come up with these questions?
Dude, I run the GHZ, the Sonic website.
So what was the name of the third guy? I've already forgotten.
Hirokazu Yasuhara.
Give me about 5 seconds, let me look this up on Google. Kidding.
Screw you, why are you looking this up?
Alright. Wow, I honestly have no idea. I'll say true.
Okay, no, wait, I'm not saying that. This is true.
That's not the question.
This is true. I'm not, this isn't the question, okay? This is true.
Okay.
All these 3 guys are the
so I was right.
most responsible people for Sonic the Hedgehog's creation. No, screw you, that's not the question. Alright, here's the question now. Out of these 3 people, none of them are now working at Sega. True or false?
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I know
Yuji Naka's in Probe. And we just talked about the other guy who might be possibly working for Nintendo now, Oshima. Oh wow.
What was the question again? Say the question again just so I can say true.
That all of them aren't working
at Sega
anymore.
All of them are not working at Sega anymore.
I'd say true, so they're not working at Sega.
I'll say false.
Okay.
I think the last guy's working. Probably in the basement somewhere, like cleaning stuff up.
All right, and my next question here. Okay, this is the third question.
Yep.
Right? And, the question is, the rapper in Knuckles' theme song from Sonic Adventure is the same rapper that voices Parappa the Rapper in Sony's series of musical games. And we've prepared clips from both songs so that you can compare the voice.
Which one's this one?
Okay, first up, Knuckles. We'll go for the Knuckles one, yeah, first. The Sonic one.
Here I come, rougher than the rest of them. The best of them, tougher than leather. They call me Knuckles. Unlike Sonic, I don't chuckle. I'd rather flex my muscles. I'm hard as nails. It ain't hard to tell. I break them down whether they solid or frail. Unlike the rest, I'm independent since my first breath.
All
first
right, test.
Why do I not remember
that
song?
Wait, what version was this on?
That was Sonic Adventure 1.
Okay, Sonic Adventure. Okay, alright.
Yeah.
I do not remember that at all.
It was his theme song. It only played like during his credits and whenever he showed up.
I don't remember that either, but okay.
You guys have terrible memories. Alright, the next...
That's like... I've played that game all the time. It's one of my favorite Sonic games. Oh
How can
God.
You not remember the
okay,
theme
anyway.
Songs? Okay, anyways. the next one is from Parappa the Rapper. And there's going to be 2 rapping voices in this. Parappa the Rapper is the higher pitched one. And he will be the one repeating words after the other guy. Just so
okay.
you know.
Here we go.
Oh, I love this song.
Kick, punch, it's all in the mic. If you wanna test me, I'm sure you'll find the things I'll teach ya. Sure to beat ya. Nevertheless, you'll get a lesson from teacher. Now kick,
kick,
punch,
punch,
jump,
tap,
block,
block.
Once more now, kick,
kick,
punch,
punch,
jump,
tap,
and block.
Alright, and Parappa was the high-pitched guy.
Right.
So the question is, again, the rapper in Knuckles' theme from Sonic Adventure is the same rapper that voices Parappa the Rapper, true or false?
From listening to him, I'm going to say, I think false, but I think it could be a trick question as well.
I say false, it's false. It's not
damn
true.
It!
All right, so both of you say.
Okay, I'm gonna go false.
Okay, false for both of you. All right. Okay. Fourth question, the last Sonic related question we have here. Tails's real name is a pun. True or false?
True.
All right, Chris. True, Graham.
Hold on. I don't think I actually understand the question fully.
Tails, you know, Sonic's sidekick? His name is a pun.
I'll go for true.
You just said it because I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. The Sega CDX is a combination Genesis, Sega CD, and 32X.
Trying to think if the 32X was able to play Genesis games. I'll say I don't think it was. I know it played 32X and Sega CD games. I think it was not able to play Genesis games. So I'll say false. I'll say it was only able to play 32X and Sega CD games.
Oh my god. I'll go the opposite. I'll go the opposite.
It was called the Multi Mega in Europe.
I don't even remember this thing at all. But yeah, I'll go for the opposite of Chris.
Okay, so you're gonna say true.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, those are our questions, and we're done. So here are the answers. The first question we had was Dr. Robotnik was designed after U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt. Both of you guys said false. The answer is actually true. The original design of Eggman is a parody of Teddy Roosevelt, direct parody.
I can see it, but I just thought that it was just something crazy that you made up.
I don't even know what Teddy Roosevelt looks like. So.
What you get for being a dirty Brit.
Yeah, I always thought that Robotnik was meant to be piss take on Mario. So he's all like on the dungarees and stuff.
No, he doesn't wear dungarees.
He's like. Yeah, he does.
No. So
like, he's got those big black dungaree things on.
No. Alright, you're both wrong. Okay. Wrong!
Dang it.
Alright. Second question was, out of the three people that are most credited for the creation of the original Sonic the Hedgehog game, Yuji Naka, programmer, Naoto Oshima, character designer, and Hirokazu Yasuhara, game planner and level designer. None of them are still working at Sega.
Oof.
The answer is true. None of them are at Sega anymore.
Ugh.
Yuji Naka formed Probe in May of 2006. Naoto Oshima, he left after Sonic Adventure and joined R-Toon. The company R-Toon went on to develop games like Pinobi, Blinx, and more recently Yoshi's Yoshi games for Nintendo.
Okay, I'm 0-2.
Hirokazu Yasuhara left Sonic Team after Sonic & Knuckles, where he went to go work at Sega of America. And then he ended up leaving Sega in 2002 and went to go work at Naughty Dog, famous for Crash Bandicoot and Jack and Daxter.
Oh my god.
Okay, I'm 0-2 right now. Graham's 1-1, so dang it.
Yeah, Graham got that. Alright. Third question. The rapper in Knuckles' theme from Sonic Adventure is the same rapper that voices Parappa the Rapper, which we heard clips from, and the answer is true.
Oh,
they're
no!
They're both voiced by John Dredd Fox Simpson the Third.
I've not got one right. I'm terrible.
Who?
You're both wrong. Wrong! Alright. The fourth question we have here is Tails' name is a pun. And the answer is true. Tails' real name is Miles Prower.
Miles Prower.
Miles per hour. So you both got that one right, although Graham was obviously just guessing. So you got lucky.
Hell yeah.
You just...
Wow, I never actually really...
Are you
I
serious?
Never tweaked that
oh
together.
Oh my god, you didn't know that?
Miles Prower. No, I never tweaked... I knew it was Miles Prower, but
they do
I
go
never
by
tweaked it as
kilometers
Miles Prower.
Per hour,
oh my god! So.
Oh yeah, that's right. No, you're British.
We got
maybe
Miles Prower.
Maybe if it was kilometer. Maybe that was his name. What?
Wait, you go by miles per hour?
Yeah, we go by miles per hour.
I thought y'all used the metric system.
Yeah, what the hell?
All our cars and all our, like, signposts say miles.
Are you
miles
serious?
Per hour.
What about on your car, inside your car, like on the dash? It doesn't have kilometers?
It says miles per hour. It's got
kilometers. What? Canada goes by kilometers, don't they? Why the hell
do you
Canada
use miles? Yeah, Canada does go by kilometers.
We're like 3,000 miles away from Canada.
But
Jesus
Canada
Christ.
Was a British Commonwealth.
So, we don't control them.
Yeah, but I thought you guys used the metric system. What the hell?
They've got a lot of French people over there, and French people...
Well, now that's even less excuse for you. You know about miles per hour.
That is strange. I think this is just a big practical joke that Graham's playing on.
Yeah, I think you're lying. I'm going to have to verify this with other British people.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to go talk to my resident expert named
Wikipedia. Then you guys measuring...
Find this out.
Then you guys normally measure in kilometers, though.
No, we use miles.
You don't? There's a joke in The Simpsons about they say something in a length in miles, and Homer goes, oh, yeah, and then Lisa says, that's so many kilometers, and Homer's like, oh, my God. Like, Homer understands kilometers.
I think it's more of a joke on the fact that the metric system is stupid.
No, it's probably just a joke that Homer is stupid and kilometers, anytime you equate that, it'd be a much...
You know, I heard, though, that, like, a long time ago that we were actually very, very close to converting to the metric system. Like, we had, like, stuff, like, already, like, printed up and all this other stuff. I heard that back, like, when I was still in school.
Well.
Yeah, wow. Such a crazy world.
Okay,
is that it, then? Do we have one more?
No, last question. Sega CDX, I hope you guys are keeping score.
I've only had one, right?
Graham,
I've got two.
All right. Yeah. Okay, last question. Here we go. The Sega CDX Multimega in Europe is a combination Genesis, Sega CD, and 32X. Chris answered false. Graham answered true. The answer is false.
No!
There was no 32X, but Chris, you were
wrong.
Wait,
what? That's not true.
It's a combination Sega Genesis and Sega CD. And not the 32X. But Chris got it right because he said false.
That's
but,
not true. Yeah, that's wrong. No.
Look it up.
You got it right, Chris.
Yeah, you got it right. Look it up.
I will. I'm actually upset at this. This is a travesty.
What, that you don't know your Sega knowledge? That you got outsmarted by me?
No, that's outsmarting me.
I'm the resident Sega expert here now, because you guys are both...
Because you asked a bunch of very obscure questions that no one in their right mind would know.
My questions were kick-ass, and this is the way to kill the quiz segment, because my questions were so hard.
I think Graham did a good job of that last time.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, Nathan. Whatever. My questions are so
okay.
good.
All right, so, okay, you got the last laugh on us this time, Asian boy. So.
Yeah, that's right, I'm right.
Yeah.
Eat
next
your
week
word.
Chris is down, though, so,
no,
yeah.
Next time we're not bringing the quiz back, remember? Unless the readers or listeners want it.
Let's keep these things rolling, Graham. I think we got the new segment, and if this is
a new quiz.
If this one's new or if this one's more popular, we'll put this one in there. So
permanent replacement.
Yes, you are.
Take it away.
Oh my God! Whoa, scary. Okay. New quiz that we should be having is called Name That Sega Tune, where basically we play a brief clip of a game that's been previously released on a Sega system or made by Sega, and we play a short, like, 10 second clip, and you guys just have to basically guess
what game
tune
it's
is.
From.
Right.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you can name the track.
Are we giving prizes away with this one? Yes, that's the exciting thing about this. You guys listening at home, you guys can actually win.
What are they winning
this
week, Graham?
This week, they should be winning a copy of Crush.
Brand new, sealed.
For the PSP.
And possibly, it could get even better, but we're not going to talk about that yet. I'm saying this copy of Crush, if some things go right, we're not going to talk too much about it. It could be even more better for you.
If things go
right,
to plan.
So we won't talk too much about it. But there's a possibility you could get a very, very special copy of Crush that I guarantee none of your friends will have. Isn't that right?
Oh, damn.
So, yes.
Now I'm jealous. I want that coffee.
So, here we go.
All right, and the thing is, you're going to have to guess what game this sound clip is from, and then email it to contest@seganerds.com. Email your answer there. And then, if you get it right, then you'll be entered into a drawing to win this game. So make sure to get your answers in right after you listen to this.
That's right.
Okay. You ready?
Ready. Alright. That's it. That's all you
get. That's what you're getting.
That's all you get.
Alright, so make sure to email your answers to contest@seganerds.com. Win a free coffee of
Crush. I think we should probably put a link up to that on the notes, though, yeah?
Yeah, we'll definitely put that on
the page. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. So there you go.
There you go. What is that tune? You name it, you could win.
The new contest. Oh, man. Free Sega games.
You can't get anything better than that. That's how we roll at Sega Nerds. We give our readers... We give our readers the goods.
Okay, we've got a bit of site news, guys. We set up a couple of MySpace accounts to help promote the site a little bit more and also to help promote the Nerdcast. We've got one MySpace account dedicated to our main site and also one for the Nerdcast specifically. And on the Nerdcast one, we have clips and stuff of previous Nerdcasts and the current Nerdcasts and show notes and stuff that we have up. And also for the one for the main site, we're going to have up little teasers for all our main articles and things. But so far, the sites aren't completely finished, and it's up to you guys to help us make them better. We want you guys to give us some suggestions for content, what you want them to look like. They've got the rough layouts already there. We want you guys to input into us what you think would make it into a good MySpace account.
That's right.
And also, we would like you guys to join us. Become our friend. If you've got a MySpace account, befriend us.
Yeah.
We want friends here. Come on.
Because we don't have them in real life.
That's right. We've only been up for a little while, but we've already got some friends already on there. So it'd be nice to have extra people who are listening to Nerdcast.
I'll give a shout out to Diego, who's one of our new friends up there. So he's been chatting with us a little bit on the thing.
Really?
So how's it going, bud?
Hell yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
So all you MySpace people out there, go check it out.
All right, so there you go. Make sure you enter the quiz and try to name that Sega tune to win the Sega games, and we'll be bringing you some more exciting stuff here in the next few weeks, Graham. What were you going to say?
I should bring up one other point about last week, if you listened, we also held another competition for Crush for two copies giving away. And we had a question just asking you guys to write in about what your idea for a puzzle game would be. And we thought that'd be quite a good question to ask you guys, get some good answers back. Nothing, damn it. Well, we had one answer. One answer! And I'm pretty angry about it. We're giving away free games here, guys. Come on. We got one answer, and that was Silver Slug. And Silver Slug, by default, is now getting a free game. That's right.
Oh,
Anybody else could have answered. They could have won. You had a good chance of winning there, guys. I was giving away two games. We've only got one answer back. So, Silver Slug, you've already won a game there. So, if you could email me your details or email Chris, we could try and get that game out to you as soon as possible. But, so very disappointed in all you guys.
Come on, guys, work with us. We're giving away free games, and all you have to do is listen to the Nerdcast.
What's going on there?
We're
trying to give these away. We have too many games on our hands. We want to get rid of them.
That's right. So, yeah. Disappointing.
Yep. We're disappointed in you.
Anyway.
So, all right, fellas. That's a Nerdcast. I hope you had a good week. I hope you have a great week this coming up week, and continue to keep playing those Sega games.